Scripture reading this morning, Matthew, the 15th chapter, verses 33 through 36. And the disciples said to him, "Where are we to get enough bread in such a desolate place to feed a great crowd?" And Jesus said to them, "How many loaves do you have?" And they said, "Seven and a few small fish." And directing the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the seven loaves and the fish, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowd.
Good morning, everyone. Please open your Bibles to where John just read for us in Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15, we'll pick up there in just a moment. And it's great to be together this morning. And I know several of you are in town, at least several of you are in town, because it's Thanksgiving coming up this week, and we're blessed to have you with us. And there might be some of you who are with us because you're from the area, and maybe you are looking for a church home or a church family. And first of all, thank you for being with us today. But if you are looking for that kind of home and that kind of family, and you'd like to know more about us, we'd love to have an opportunity to talk with you. If you have any questions, feel free to ask any of us at any time, and maybe on your own time, if you want to check out our website to learn more about us, you can at morristownchurchofchrist.com. And both for our members and our guests, with Thanksgiving in mind, tonight, after our evening worship at 5 o'clock, we are going to have a Thanksgiving potluck, and everyone is welcome to be a part of that. And if you would like to bring some food, there's a sign-up sheet in the hallway. It's going to be a little bit different kind of potluck because it will be more Thanksgiving-themed. But there will be plenty of food, and we hope you can join us for that. Again, we worship at 5 o'clock, and then we'll share in that meal around 6 o'clock. And I know some people will be traveling this week as well, and we hope that you're safe in your travels and you have a good time and a blessed holiday this Thanksgiving. Today's lesson is intentionally simple. It's not going to be very complicated or complex, but one thing that I have found in my life spiritually, sometimes the lessons I most need, or at least most need to be reminded of, are the ones that are really the simplest, the ones that we can take for granted, and the things that as Christians, as disciples, as followers of Christ, things that we can just sort of get in a rut, in a routine, and do them without giving much thought. And this morning, the very simple thing that we're going to focus on is not just giving thanks, but giving thanks specifically for food. Because that is an act, I have a feeling, every one of us in here on a fairly regular basis. Now, if we're honest, sometimes we rush through things and you know, the day's busy and we forget maybe at mealtime to give thanks, but I have a feeling that every one of us in here know what it's like to give thanks for food and to hear others do that. And especially as you think about Thanksgiving this week, and we often talk about the food, and I appreciate Russ's thoughts in as we were taking up the collection and thinking about the abundance and just so much that we have to be thankful for. If we're not careful, we can just sort of treat giving thanks for food as just sort of this thing that you're supposed to do. You know, it's time to eat. You say, and you might even just say the same prayer over and over again without giving much thought to it. To be candid about it. As I think about Thanksgiving, I've shared with you before, it's one of, if not my favorite, holiday. And growing up in West Virginia with my family, I always enjoyed, even though we were a pretty small family, I always enjoyed us getting together at Thanksgiving, especially with my grandparents and that generation were still alive. We would get together at my grandparents' house, and my grandmother would do all of the cooking. And when I was younger, my favorite part was dessert, right? And to some degree, you know, I still like a lot of dessert. But Granny, she would spoil us because we were a smaller family. She'd pretty much ask everybody, what kind of pie would you like? And so we'd pretty much, everybody would get their own pie, practically. And that was a neat experience, a neat a neat memory. But as I got older, even into my teenage years, my favorite part of Thanksgiving meal shifted from the end of the meal to what preceded. And that was the prayer. And while they were alive, the two people who would always, one of these two people who would lead the prayer were either my grandfather or my great uncle, who has always meant a lot to me and has made a great influence on my life. And especially as I saw them getting older, and as we were thinking about giving thanks, and here we are literally giving thanks at the Thanksgiving meal, in both of those men, both in their words, but also in their emotion, in their sincerity, and the fact that I knew them and I knew what their lives were all about, I saw in them people who were genuinely thankful for every good gift that God had given to them. And that memory continues to make a profound impression upon me today as to who I am and what I'm about and whether or not I'm a person of gratitude. Because in some ways, it is easy to give thanks for the really big things in life. But if we are people who on a regular basis give thanks for the simplest of things, and yeah, I know for probably a lot of us, this week we will have more food put in front of us than we really need. And as Russ said, that's not the case for everybody. And when you have a lot of food in front of you, or you have your favorite food in front of you, it's easy to say, you know, I'm just so thankful for all this, this abundance of really delicious food. But, you know, even if you have a meal of rice and beans in front of you, you know what you have an opportunity to do? To give thanks. To give thanks to God and to get back to who He is and what life is all about and the one from whom all blessings come. Psalm 92 verse 1 says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord." And a common refrain throughout the book of Psalms, even though these statements aren't specifically about food, they remind us about God and His goodness. But a common refrain in Psalms says, "Give thanks to God for He is good," or "Give thanks to the Lord for He is good." Just over and over and over again, you can find statements in Psalms just saying, God is a good God. And because He is a good God, what response does that naturally elicit from me? It really should begin with a heart of gratitude. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there are many places where you can find Jesus saying a prayer, teaching other people to pray, directing. Sometimes He's praying by Himself, sometimes He's praying with crowds around Him. But you see Him praying and including a variety of thoughts in those prayers. And as you know, there's all kinds of different things that go on in prayer. There's a few places, however, that specify that Jesus gave thanks. And even though that's a simple thought, I want you to consider this morning how profound it is to consider that God in the flesh, when He came to this earth, that He took time out before He ate to simply say thank you back to His Father. Now, I want to focus on two of those occasions this morning and really just make two points for us as to what the giving of thanks does for us. And the first thing that it does is that it centers us on God's work. Giving thanks centers us on, or humbles us to God's work. You could say center as well, but it humbles us to God's work. And I specifically use the word humble because of what takes place in Matthew 15. This passage that John read for us again, if you haven't turned there already in your pew Bibles, it's on page 821. This is the lesser known of the occasions where Jesus miraculously feeds thousands of people. If you go back one chapter to Matthew 14, we usually talk about Jesus feeding the 5,000, but there's this other occasion where He feeds 4,000 people with at least, we're told, 7 loaves and a few fish there in verse 34 of Matthew 15. And Jesus directs the crowd to sit down. And then verse 36, it says he takes this food and after giving thanks, he broke them. Now, that's all Matthew says about that. He gave thanks and then miraculously he takes this small meal and begins multiplying it to feed at least 4,000 people. That's a phenomenal thing. But what's also phenomenal in this moment is that the one who performs this miracle, before he performs the miracle, he doesn't just bless it. He gives thanks for it. Now, the reason why I find this amazing and rather phenomenal is because Jesus, one, is performing the miracle in the moment, and two, before he came to this earth, Jesus was a part of bringing about all things throughout all of creation. Colossians chapter 1:16 says that everything that has been made through Christ and by Christ. He's the source, he's the means. It also tells us he's the object of all of creation. Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, all of them working in consortium together brought about all of creation. Now, why do I highlight this to you? If you're one of the primary figures behind the bringing about of something, why do you need to say thanks to yourself? If you're God, why do you need to say thank you? Well, a couple things. One, he is a man. Even though he's God in the flesh, he's also completely man. And he's acknowledging that these things before him, even as he was God, before he came in the flesh, he didn't do this by himself, did he? The Father and the Spirit were a part of this. And here in this moment, as he is performing this miracle, did Jesus perform miracles all by himself? Nope. The Father and the Spirit and the Son were all working in tandem together to bring about these things. And so it tells me that even when you're God, you can still give thanks. I'm not God. That's not breaking news to any of you, I know. And you're not God either. But if God could give thanks for the simplest of meals, now, don't get me wrong. Fresh fish and bread, that sounds like a good meal to me. But this isn't fancy stuff, especially if you lived in the Mediterranean. But even for these simplest of food items, Jesus gave thanks. What about me? You know, if I'm not careful, I can begin to think, you know, this food that's in front of me, there's really only two ways you have food in front of you, right? You either help produce it, for those of you who farm, you were actively engaged in the direct process of bringing this food about, or you worked, and with the money you earned, you purchased the food. So you either produced it or you purchased it. But what's the reality? Who's behind it all? God's behind it all. And in some ways, those of you who farm and those who have farmed throughout all of human history, in some ways, maybe they most directly, with their own eyes, realize, yeah, there is work that I put into this. But the reality is, there's one far bigger than me that's made this happen. Because no matter how much you plant and water and get sunlight and feed nutrients to something, it is still an amazing and miraculous thing that consistently food is produced out of the ground. And even God himself said in Genesis 1, first with vegetation, and then in Genesis 9, with animals, and talking to Noah, what does he say? I have given you these things. Yeah, I'm a minor participant in this process, but the one who's made this possible is God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And Jesus, in sitting down with the 4,000, simply says, thank you. Thank you for these gifts. Thank you for allowing us to eat. Thank you for making this possible. And every time we do that, every time we say thank you to God, what does it do? It humbles me because it reminds me, this didn't just come from me. And I'm not the primary actor in this process. As James tells us, every good and perfect gift, where does it come from? It comes from God. The second place where we find Jesus giving thanks is really easy to overlook because of so many other significant things that are taking place on this occasion. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, just a few pages. If you have a pew Bible, it's page 832. In this occasion is for Jesus and the disciples. It is Passover night. As we look back at this and we know what's taking place here, it is the institution of what we call the Lord's Supper. And if we're not careful, because we think of Passover as just sort of this religious observance, and we think of the Lord's Supper, a lot of times we think of it as a religious observance, what we overlook is this is actually a meal as well. Yes, there are religious connections to it, but this is a meal. People sit down and they ate things together. They ate unleavened bread. They drank fruit of the vine. They also ate roast lamb, and there were bitter herbs involved in this meal also. So it's a very simple meal. Just like the fish and the bread that we spoke of earlier. And as you read in Matthew chapter 26, beginning with verse 26, Matthew records for us, "Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins.'" And so here, specifically with the cup, Matthew tells us that Jesus gave thanks before he passed this simple item around. What I want to highlight here is that giving thanks, it centers us on God's will. It centers us on God's will. What do I mean by that? Well, it's interesting as you explore Scripture, and especially as you consider the words of Jesus, how he, on multiple occasions, would associate a cup with suffering, and how specifically he would associate a cup with his suffering. We just read from Matthew chapter 26. The parallel account in Luke is in Luke chapter 22. On the next screen, there will be this verse from Luke chapter 22, verse 15. As he's preparing for this meal, he says, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." He saw his suffering even as he is taking of these emblems. John chapter 18, verse 11 will be on the screen as well. As he is arrested a little bit later in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says to Peter, "Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" There'd be another occasion where the disciples, Jesus would challenge and say to them, "Are you able to drink the cup that I'm going to drink?" They say, "Yeah, we're able." And he's like, "Well, you're going to find out later down the line." But I find it interesting as we go back to Matthew chapter 26 that Jesus, as he is taking of the Passover, he already foresees not just what it signifies, but what is going to take place for his own life. You know, in Matthew 26, you skip down to verse 39 when he is in the Garden of Gethsemane. When we think about the cup of suffering, probably one of the first things we think about are his own words when he says, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." It says, "Let this cup pass from me." And you can read and research a lot of things as to all the symbolism that scholars and commentators see into this. But what I find poignant, you know, many times we think Jesus is still wrestling with the cup that is before him as he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. But the reality of it is, when you go back to verse 28, as he pours the cup, he says, "This is my blood of the covenant, the new covenant, which is poured out for you." Yes, there's a wrestling in the Garden of Gethsemane. But there's also an acceptance, isn't there? There's an acceptance of the reality of what lay before him, what lies before him. And it's not going to be an easy cup. But here's my point. Many times, you think about grape juice, right? Grape juice is sweet. I mean, it is an easy drink to accept, isn't it? But there's other drinks that are bitter. They take a little bit of work to accept and swallow. And a lot of times in life, we just want the sweet stuff, don't we? We want the stuff that tastes good. That's a natural thing. But there are times when the things that are bitter are part of my nourishment as well. Sometimes that's true physically with my physical nourishment, but it's also true with my spiritual nourishment. As I think about the cups that are set before us in life, I think about Jesus' statement here. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me? You think about the fact that this is being said, or this observance in Matthew chapter 26 is taking place on Passover night. What were they celebrating and acknowledging? That their people had been passed over. That cup of bitterness was taken away from them. And what they don't realize at the moment is that the ultimate Passover sacrifice says, I'm going to drink this cup for you because it's not one that you can drink for yourself. And if we are to be people who follow in His steps when we give thanks, yes, we give thanks for the good gifts, the things that we perceive to be good, but sometimes in the giving of thanks of those things and recognizing that they come from God's hand, because He is sovereign and overall, you know what that also does? It prepares us for the fact that sometimes He sets before us cups that are not so easy to accept. As we give thanks for the cups that are sweet, it prepares us that God sometimes places before us cups that might be bitter to the taste. But in His providence and His sovereign rule over all, He brings about something far better. It's like Job said to his wife in Job chapter 2, verse 10. Shall we only accept the good things from God and not realize that sometimes Job's word was evil? I don't think he's saying God is evil. But from our perception, sometimes there are cups put before us that are hard and difficult. And when I give thanks for the sweet ones, it reminds me sometimes God puts things before me that are more challenging. And am I just as willing to accept those things? Jesus was. He had a resolve in his heart as he's giving thanks to continue to accept other cups that God would put before him as well. And so in our giving of thanks, in my giving of thanks, sometimes I need to be centered on not just the things that God puts before me that I like and enjoy and that are easy, but also the things that challenge me. The things that maybe cause me to grow the most. And the fact that they also might be the things that bring about the most good for others. Because as Jesus says, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. But if not, then let your will be done. And thankfully, he accepted that cup of suffering for us. Our follow this week. You might be the kind of person that every time you sit down to give thanks for the food put in front of you, that you are very intentional and you are very sincere and you are always heartfelt. And if so, God bless you. And that is great. But if you're like me, then you can be the kind of person who, because you're in a rush or in a hurry or because you just do this over and over again, you sort of unknowingly and unthinkingly go through the giving of thanks. And not just Thursday or whatever day you sit down to enjoy what you call your Thanksgiving meal, But every time you have food put in front of you, I want to challenge all of us to be intentional about giving thanks to God, recognizing that He's ultimately behind all of this, and that He gives us these things, even the simplest of things in front of us. Slow down. And the nice thing about Thanksgiving, the holiday, is it gives us an opportunity to slow down, step back, and recognize God is behind this. But what about those other days? Where the 9 to 5 or whatever your work schedule is, where the routine, the hustle and bustle of family and everything else causes you just to go throughout the day without taking some intentional time to give thanks to God. Don't rush through the giving of thanks. But reflect on the fact that, yeah, I might have helped produce this, I might have worked to purchase it, but God gave this to me. And yes, as I give thanks for the things that are delicious and easy to consume, I also need to be reminded that God sometimes puts other things in front of me that are just as much a part of His plan and His will for my life. And can I still be thankful? Can I still say it is good to give thanks to God? Because He is good. Thankfully, we have an example in Jesus of one who gave thanks and one who didn't just accept the cup that was sweet, but He also accepted the cup that was bitter. And He did so on our behalf. And we give thanks to God for the indescribable gift of His Son. This morning, if you've never given your life to Christ, in a sense, if you've never returned thanks to God for what He has done for us by giving us His Son, by giving your life to Him, by putting Christ on in baptism, to follow in His steps, to have your sins washed away. If you've never made that decision, we hope you do so this morning. For those of us who are Christians, may our gratitude be reflected in all that we do and all that we say. And may it truly change us and transform us and humble us to God's will and His work in our lives. This morning, if you need to maybe confess something, maybe if you need prayers of encouragement, maybe if you need to meet privately with one of our shepherds in the library afterwards, those opportunities are available to you. But don't put off giving yourself to Christ. If you need to come to Him today, please do so while we stand and sing.